Well, you know that last Sunday we started a little series, very simple, basic little series, around the question of the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? And we started by last week by saying, first of all, you need to hear. You need to hear. You have to hear. And so how shall they hear without a preacher? And we talked about that. And we talked about hearing the word of God, not just, as it were, in one ear and out the other, but hearing. And we also talked about the importance of hearing the truth, not some fancy little ear-tickling sermons that'll satisfy what we think is the gospel, but the truth of the word of God, hearing. Well, today we're looking at the second. Now, I did say last week, too, that these aren't steps. And if you've put one step beside another, that when you get the fifth step, then you're saved. No. Well, what I'm saying, these all must be included if you're to truly be saved. You're truly to be saved. And so they're not stepping stones to salvation, but they must accompany, they must be part of your salvation. And so I want you to turn again to Acts chapter 16, this great passage. We're going to read this passage together, Acts chapter 16. We're going to read this account of Paul and Silas in the prison, reading from verse 25 down to verse 34. And our text will be in verse 31. And we often sing it in children's meetings. And you know what it is, just believe and receive. Well, that sometimes sounds so simplistic, doesn't it? Well, we're going to try and clear up that here in this meeting today. Our theme tonight is, what must I do? Well, you must believe. Right, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. This is the word of God, so let's give it the respect that it's due. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Notice he was saved before he was baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his house. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? It's a wonderful story. I suggest to you the reason that he was trembling was the fact of some supernatural phenomena was after taking place in the prison. And he'd recognized that God had come to the very prison. God can meet you anywhere. It doesn't have to be have a steeple over the roof. You know, God has placed some remarkable abilities in his creation to aid them on their survival. An eagle can see a mouse from almost a mile up in the sky. It has got sharp eyesight. And God has given the eagle an ability to see a small object at a great distance. Many fish can instantly change the color of their skin, and many other animals as well, so that they can melt into the background, so therefore to escape those that would attack and eat them. I read this about the hippopotamus. The hippopotamus secretes a fluid into their skin which acts as sunscreen against the hot African summers. And what about this one? I'm sure you've seen the accounts and the stories of some of the emperor penguins. I'm sure other penguins can do it, but the emperor penguin can certainly do this. They have their little ones away in from somewhere in the South Pole, North Pole, or wherever it is. And they walk for mile after mile after mile. You've seen this program, haven't you? For a mile. someone suggested 100 miles up to. Well, I don't know how long that takes, but they just to go and get food. And then they'll do the trek back again, and you'll see them, trains, penguins going this way and penguins coming back again. And they can come back into thousands upon penguins and go straight till his offspring. What about the leopard? The leopard is the fastest animal on 4 feet. Because it's the fastest animal, it can catch prey very quickly, and because it hasn't got an enormous amount of strength, but it can catch its prey. Oh, I could bamboozle you tonight with all the marvelous abilities that God has given to his creation. You know, one of the greatest abilities that God has given to man is the ability to believe. To believe. To take something of God's truth and believe it, and thereafter it alters, transforms your life. I was asking in conversation this past week, could you give me a definition of what it is to believe? Now, if you sit down and think about it, it's extremely difficult to give us an understanding, an understandable, intelligible definition of what it means to believe. Because oftentimes you hear people say, just believe. Well, what does it mean to just believe? Give me a definition. Think it up there and tell me afterwards, perhaps. Well, you'll be cheating because you'll have heard what I'm going to say. What does it mean? How is it that I can read God's truth? Or I can hear a sermon preached or overhear someone praying? Or, as it was in Willie Mullen, as he was on his way to do some dastardly deed, going through past a tent and with a gun in his pocket, and he heard a text and a verse that rang out, and the moment he heard it, he believed it, and he was saved. Marvelous. Marvelous ability to believe. God has given us this ability, and it causes us to act, to adopt, to appropriate fact, truth, and therein place our lives upon that fact, and our lives are changed. That's belief. That's belief. Our lives completely transformed, and our lives completely sent in a different direction, because God gives us the ability to take his truth and place our lives at its control. The Philippian jailer was given the opportunity to believe, and it utterly, openly, eternally changed his life forever. And tonight, whether you're listening online, even if you're listening online when you should be here, you lazy lump, or whether you're listening online and can't be out, well, we understand that. God can allow you, God will enable you to hear truth. And if you act, adopt, appropriate, accept that truth, you will be changed. That's what Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer. Believe and you shall be saved. It's a theme that John, the gospel writer and a commentator, seemed to be taken up with. Several places he quotes the words of Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 35. You only need to listen to these. I've got several of them. It says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. In John chapter 6 and verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 7 and verse 38, He that believeth in me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life-giving water. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but believeth on him that sent me. Brothers and sisters, men and women, hasn't God given us a tremendous gift? The ability to believe. Hasn't he? Hasn't he, folks? To think that I can believe on him and out of my innermost being can flow rivers of life-giving water. Not only save me, but send me into a life-saving, life-giving, to be a life-saving, or at least an evangelist that leads people where they may be themselves saved. Now, I have three little headings, and I want us to think about this. And here's the first thing. Notice the insistence of believing in Jesus. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that you have no options here. You do. There are those who say they don't believe, but that is not essentially true. Everybody believes something. You getting me now? Everybody believes something. The atheist believes his set of ideologies. He believes there's no God. We believe there is a God. Are you getting what I'm saying? The pagan has his set of beliefs. Everybody believes something. There is no such thing as believing nothing. You might believe that there's no God and no eternity, but that's because you're believing that there's no God. You're believing that there's no eternity. You can say there's no hell. Well, you believe there's no hell. We believe there's a hell. You get what I'm saying? The insistence here is not what you believe. The insistence, or whether you believe or not, the insistence here is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever Paul and Silas was talking to the Philippian jailer, you stop believing that old nonsense and start believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was saying. The insistence that I'm talking about here is if you are to be saved, to know God and his forgiveness of sins, then you must believe on Jesus Christ. Simples, if you've seen the advert. You must believe on Jesus. And by the way, whether you believe or not does not alter the gospel. Does not change the fact that he is able to save. Here's what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward he peered unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in me and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. I say to you, men and women, and those listening perhaps to a recording, if anyone is to know God's power, mercy, forgiveness, grace, then it is imperative that you embrace and accept and adopt and appropriate the truth by faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, repent and believe the gospel. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. Jesus divides humanity into two groups. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As far as I can see, the belief that the Philippian jailer was challenged to accept was a total, unequivocal belief in who Jesus was, to believe the whole package. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe about his deity. He was God. Believe in his purity. He knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he was the Savior sent from heaven. To believe that he was the anointed one. The go-between between man and God. To believe in his demands. To believe in his resurrection. To believe in everything spoken by him. Attributed to him. By the Father, prophesied and foretold about him, recorded of him, his person, his purposes, his passion, predictions, promises, everything. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe tonight? Do you believe? Do you believe he's Lord? D.T. Niles said, Jesus Christ is not a value that we can negotiate, nor is he a preference that we can reject. He is the truth, and the truth cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. When Paul and Silas answered the Philippian jailer's question, their reply to him was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe not about him, not as much as you can muster up, not merely commit to him, not adhere to him, not acknowledge him only, but to give full title to your belief that he's the only Savior of the world and he's the only Savior of your soul, and without him you're lost. That's what it means to believe. I ask you a few questions. You don't have to answer them out, but you can shout them out if you like. If you're wrong, I'll soon tell you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed one come to save? To set men free? To sanctify? To redeem? To justify? Yes, you say, 1,000 times yes. Then let me ask you another question. Do you believe he is the one came to defeat the power of sin in your life? Do you believe he's Lord? Do you believe he's Lord? Is he Lord of your life? The insistence to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, salvation is in Christ, and salvation is Christ in you. And that is why I speak of the insistence of belief. If you're to know anything of what God has for you, then it's imperative that you forsake all those things that you believe in and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now have I made myself clear? The insistence to believe in Jesus. Not just about him. Not just a little bit concerning him. Do you over in this corner believe in Jesus Christ? Do you over in this corner believe in Jesus Christ, who's the Lord and Savior of mankind, and he's the only hope for a lost world? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Well, I'm standing here until you answer me. Do you believe it, Danielle? Do you believe it? Do you believe it, Mark? It's the only answer. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Has that truth and your act and adoption and appropriation of it, then has it altered your life? Has it gripped your soul? Has it permeated into your being? I am sick to the teeth. I think I said that this morning. So you must think I'm very sick. Where people tell me I believe. Well, that brings me to the next point. Not only is it the insistence, but the importance of believing in Jesus. The importance. Can I say to you, you live what you believe. Will I say that again? You live what you believe. You want to repeat it after me? See if you've got good memories. One, two. You live what you believe. And what you believe determines how you live. What you believe determines how you live. If you want to know what people believe, then just look at their lives. And they don't care what you profess. Their lives will tell you their truth, the truth. Behavior is determined by what you believe. People live today according to their perception of how they think they ought to live. But that doesn't mean to say that the truth has gripped their hearts. Here's a satirical poem called The Creed, a modern-day creed, written by an English music journalist and poet, Steve Turner. As he looked at society, he penned these words as a creed according to which society in which we find ourselves living today, as they live. Now, don't be offended by what he says, but he looked at humanity as it lives today, and this is, as he saw, their creed. We believe in Marx, Freud, and Darwin. We believe everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone. To be to the best of your definition of hurt and to the best of your knowledge. We believe in sex before, during, and after marriage. We believe in the therapy of sin. We believe that adultery is fun. We believe that sodomy is okay. And we believe that taboos are taboo. We believe that everything's getting better, despite evidence to the contrary. The evidence must be investigated, and you can prove anything by evidence. We believe there's something in horoscopes, UFOs, and bent spoons. Jesus was a good man, just like Buddha, Muhammad, and ourselves. He is a good moral teacher, though we think his good morals were bad. We believe that all religions are basically the same, at least the one that we read. They all believe in love and goodness. The only difference matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. We believe that man is essentially good. It's only his behavior that lets him down. This is the fault of society. Society is the fault of conditions, and conditions are the fault of society. We believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. Reality will adopt accordingly. The universe will readjust. History will alter. We believe that there's no absolute truth, accepting the truth that there is no absolute truth. And that about sums it up. He looked to society, and he wrote a creed that fitted the society in which we live. That's why it's important, dear brothers and sisters, in believing the truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I also want you to know that it's easy to believe something, then try to make the Bible say what you believe. Any fool can make the Bible say what they want to say, to believe what they want to believe. But it's only the truth, as we apply it to our hearts, causes us to live a righteous, godly, holy life. We're living in a day when people say they believe in God, but they are far from the truth of what represents God. James chapter 2, verses 19 to 20 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" It's important, brothers and sisters, to believe the truth. Do you believe the truth? If someone lived with me for a week, would they see the truth lived out in me? And could they tell by my behavior that I have embraced the truth. Are you with me? It's important to believe the truth. Our behavior tells us what we believe. True faith understands that there's one sovereign God, but then goes on to submit to the will of that God. That's the difference between saving faith and the rest. The importance of believing the truth. Here's the last little thought. The impact of believing in Jesus. What's the impact? Well, we can see it quite clearly in the Philippian jailer, can't we? His life was changed. I mean, Paul and Silas were there with open wounds. And he cared not about them until he believed. And then what happened? He started ministering to Paul and Silas. After having lorded over them, now he's groveling to them, I must say. He's seeking to bring help and healing and encouragement to them. There was a story told of an old man that was out walking one night. And he saw another man under a lamppost. Approaching, he asked the man, "Have you lost something?" The man, without looking up, replied, "I've lost my watch." The first man asked, "Well, where precisely did you drop it?" He says, "Away over there." Well, he says, "Why are you looking under this lamppost?" He says, "Because there's more light here." There's a lot of people looking in the wrong places, in the wrong direction, and not willing to look to God. We live in a world that teaches self-sufficiency, and you won't find salvation in self. The world tells us of self-gratification, but you won't find peace in the things of the world. This world teaches that if you gain position or power, you'll be happy. Happiness comes from peace with God. The Philippian jailer, the moment he believed, he found that there's other things more important than just maintaining his job. Human suffering and the well-being of these godly men became a priority in his life. By the way, this is something that I find is true. The moment a soul believes in Jesus Christ for salvation, they may know relief, release, renewal, rebirth, and the joy of being saved will flood their souls. Isn't that true? Now, that doesn't always happen. Don't be looking for an experience. Don't be looking for an experience. But very often the experience comes. But there's something more important than a mere experience happens the moment, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. There's something more important happens. Some things happen in the heavenlies. The hymn writer wrote this great hymn, "To God be the glory." And then it goes on to say, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. I'll tell you what happens the moment we believe. And the moment we truly, sincerely act, appropriate, adopt, accept that truth to be the dynamic, the direction, the foundation of our lives. We are entered into Christ, and in Christ the law is magnified. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. He fills up the law. He's the final act of the law. In Christ, the sinner is rectified. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In Christ, justice is satisfied. In Christ, hell is nullified. In Christ, salvation is simplified. In Christ, God's holiness is reconciled. And in Christ, our guilt is disqualified. for an impact. Are you living in guilt tonight? Are there believers here tonight and they're afraid of dying? They're not exactly sure where they're going. You wonder how you stand before God. In Christ, the moment you adopted that truth, you accepted it, you appropriated it, you made it yours, it was yours, yours. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. It's the story of a man who, let's just say, was well proportioned. He wanted a new dressing gown. And he went to the local clothes, drapery store, whatever you call them. And he saw that many different dressing gowns, saw them different quality. But he saw them, some lovely ones, and they were one size. You ever try the one size? And now he was well proportioned. He went home that night and he says, I must try on my new dressing gown, my one size dressing gown. Got one arm in, then he got his second arm in, and he pulled it down. It looked like a mini skirt and an elephant. Let me tell you, the grace of God fits all. The grace of God fits all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. One writer illustrates it like this. When we lived home at home, he says, we used to go out in the morning, lived on a farm, used to go out in the morning, and that's the last the parents would see them in the evening during the school holidays. When it came to evening time and supper time, he would blow the whistle, and then would come the children, would go up and get themselves cleaned up, and then they would get their supper, and then they would go back again to their bed. It was because they responded to the whistle from the Father that they availed of the blessings of supper, a clean bath, and a fresh bed. They responded to the gospel call, the truth. Have you found another truth that you think supersedes the truth of God's word? There's an attitude required for saving faith. It's called humility. There's an action required for saving faith. You accept it. There's an approval in saving faith. I approve of him. He approves of me. Do you believe? Do you believe? Have you believed? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? If I were to look at your life according to the truth of God's word, would by looking at my life or your life prove that I truly have believed? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that your truth is the antidote. Your salvation, Christ, and his death and resurrection, his pardon, Lord, the gift of his life for my life, his dying in my place and my stead, the truth of who Jesus is, what he came to do, his deity, his purity, his death, his resurrection. Lord, we thank you that when we believe the truth of who Jesus is, we thank you, Lord, that as we place our life and we bide our life by these great truths, we thank you, Lord, that you alter the direction of our lives. Perhaps, Lord, in this gathering tonight, there would be those who think they believe. It's just a mental assent. It's just doing what somebody else did. I pray, dear God, that there will be true saving faith impart. What a wonderful gift you've given us, Lord. The ability to believe. And it's a gift that comes from you. Lord, we pray that you'll seal these truths up in our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing number 260. Sing it deliberately, I think, if that's all right, Glenn. I have decided to follow Jesus. And you know, when you've decided to follow Jesus, there's no turning back, because he wins the affections of your heart. If you want to talk with us tonight, maybe you're concerned by something I've said, don't be afraid to come and talk to me. And let's have a mature discussion on the things of God. These are vital truths for vital days. And stand and sing. Thanks so much. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the comfort and help and abiding presence of the Spirit of God, rest, abide, and remain with us each one as we journey to our homes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. And shouted,
Hallelujah.
And those rejoicing, Glory.